Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In this episode, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection, highlighting the varied work of the large number of staff who perform vital work behind the scenes at the university.
Although Warwick is primarily a higher education institution, its staff perform a wide range of tasks to ensure it functions effectively as an organisation. As we have heard from earlier podcasts, Warwick's founding members place great importance on having an effective higher administration team, and since 1965, the administration has dealt with many changes. Janet Keane, an administrator at the university, describes the technological changes that have taken place since she arrived.
When I first came to Warwick, there wasn't a computer on every desk. We did have a computer, and I was scared to death of it because I didn't have a computer at home. It wasn't the thing everybody did then. And mobiles weren't even around. You know, it's a long time ago, it's 24 years. So we did have a computer I could type a report on, but it was very slow going. I think one of the reports I wrote, Dennis, my boss, we wanted to print the report. So we used to have to go down the corridor to the check printer. He had to wheel it along the corridor to our office. He had to reconfigure it to print, not checks, to print the report, print it off, just one copy. And then he had to wheel it back down the corridor and reconfigure it back to be a check printer again. Then we did get technology and I did start to get used to, you know, I wasn't scared of pressing a button in case I lost everything. Because that's how it felt to start with. And gradually over the years, everybody got a computer on their desk and then we'd have one printer in the office that everybody had to go to. And there was no such thing as a colour printer and photocopiers were down the end of the corridor. Everybody had to walk miles to. But we didn't do so much by email in those days either. That was still building. It was handwritten memos went around with photocopies. Well, not photocopies, carbon copies. So it was a massive change.
Catering, too, has an important place in the functioning of a university. Shirley Spann, a member of the catering staff from 1982 to 2007, describes her work as a chef at the University Grill restaurant.
It became very, very popular with staff and academics. It actually evolved into a superb restaurant, really. Lots of people used to come for the hall nights when they used to have the big Philharmonic orchestras over at the Arts Centre. A lot of people, we sat 60 people and we'd do 60 meals in the first hour, in, out, lay up again for the rest of the evening. Yeah, it was very popular. Obviously, being a grill room, it's quick cooking, right? You could go. We went from beef burgers, as I said, and chips with everything, to having specialist evenings. Maybe a pancake night. We'd do Christmas meals at Christmas, and we'd do fillet steaks. The menu changed quite regularly. Do things like fillet steaks. Oh, and we had one particular student who was rather well off and would bring in up to as many 20 friends just for a knickerbocker glory.
Julian Abremski, now a night supervisor at the university, describes his first encounter with the university catering team when he worked, and later owned, a farm in neighbouring Alderley Village.
My grandfather owned a farm, and it was a pig farm. I went into business with him in 1971 and gradually took over the business. And what we actually did was we actually collected all the waste food from the kitchens from probably about, say, 1968 that I remember. Certainly in 1971 when I took over the business, we were a contractor to come 3-4 times a week, and we used to take away a lot of waste food from all the sites. Of course, at that stage, the site that Radcliffe is now on was just a field. And I clearly remember it being a field in those early days.
As an organisation, the university must also ensure the safety of staff and students. Peter Rayner was appointed as the university's first safety officer and described several incidents he had to respond to.
Every department, every separate academic department, every separate supporting department, like estates, finance, registry, catering, or every department, every separate entity, if you like, had to appoint what was known as a departmental safety officer, who was part-time, was generally an academic in the academic department, who was responsible for the day-to-day looking at. I wrote an enormous volume, Safety in the University. Writing down all sorts of rules and guidelines and things. And I would go around and check from time to time, much more frequently in the more dangerous subjects and areas, and less in places like French or what have you, maybe once or twice a year there. Every new regulation came out, I had to see how did it affect our system at all and apply. And remember the residences too, I mean, they all came under the Health and Safety Work Act.
Many staff at the university also support the emotional well-being of staff and students, particularly in the last decade, as the mental health agenda has become more prominent in institutions more widely. Reverend Dr. Mark Bratton, university chaplain between 1998 and 2009, describes his duties as part of the chaplaincy team at Warwick.
Well, when I first came up, I'd been appointed as Anglican chaplain to the university, but it was made clear to me that although I was a denominational chaplain, my role was to offer pastoral care to all students and members of the staff, whether they themselves had a religious affiliation or not. So my role was principally a pastoral one, but there was also a liturgical responsibility. During term time, there are chaplaincy services on campus.
Many members of staff do not necessarily work conventional working hours. Julian Abremski again, on his varied duties as night supervisor in the Radcliffe Hotel facility.
I help prepare bills, prepare things for the morning, for the early receptionist to come in, and I do some cleaning as well. And just generally making sure that guest behaviour at night is what is expected. It's much, much better now than it used to be. The expectation of companies is so much higher now that they believe and they expect their staff and their representatives to behave themselves whilst they're away from the company and here. And by and large, that does happen now. But I just make sure that the building is secure. Security is another aspect of the job. And preparing things for the morning, for the kitchen, making sure all the stoves and things are on for the chefs when they come in the morning. And any varied job that I'm asked to do.
In the next Voices of the University podcast, we shall hear more about Warwick in 2015. For further details, or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.